Good morning. Good morning. I want to extend a thanks. In fact, I'm going to phrase it exactly as the message was given to me. And that is, the accolades have poured in for the young lady who was your liturgist last week. And that would be Ms. Ann Bowen back here. Phenomenal. Did a phenomenal job. So the accolades have poured in thanksgiving. And I want to thank Ann. And also, I want to thank the choir, because we've heard nothing but grave thanks and praise for the choir last week. And when I was given this information, I said, I want to tell you one thing. I'm proud too, and I am in no way surprised. What a church this is, and I know we're all excited about next week for your 100th anniversary. And a lot of specials are going to take place for that. You know, of course, the choir is going to be here. So, Keith and Linda, I reminded Keith that when Steve Bennett was the DS, our new DS hasn't had the chance to be here yet. I'm sure he will. Probably when Pastor Melissa's here. But when Steve Bennett was here, he and Medora, his wife, Steve said to me, and imagine, I mean, if you're from First, let me say right now, I'm not trying to insult you. But he'd been to First, he'd been to all the churches in the district. And again, he would say to me every time he met me, he said, Greg, when I heard Keith and Linda and your choir, he said, if Medora and I could, if we didn't have our district conference cabinet responsibilities, we'd be here every week. So plan now for next week's going to be a joyous, in many ways, a reunion. With a lot of our friends. Now then, are there any parish notices to come before us, Marianne?
Greg, this is to go along with you in terms of next Sunday, the celebration of our 100th anniversary. We will be having a lunch. It will be served around 11:15-ish. I can even say, well, somewhere between 11 and 11:30 then. And I just wanted to tell you what the menu will be. It will be chicken, pork, mashed potatoes with gravy, dressing, corn, green beans, and dinner rolls with, you know, beverages. And I will ask if you would like to complement this meal. There is a sign up out in the outside the sanctuary in which that you can sign up for maybe a salad or a dessert, as if you would like to complement the meal. I will say Judy Farmer and I will be outside the door. If you have been unable to RSVP, to let us know if you have or will be able to attend next Sunday. And as many of you know, sometimes your schedules change. You're not locked into if you have not RSVP and your schedule changes and you wish to attend the meal next Sunday, please do so. You know, we're allowing some, you know, some extra. So please, we'd like to have you all join us next week for the luncheon right after the church service at 11:15. And while I'm up here, I know you had the opportunity of maybe seeing this in your bulletin, but in May 15th and 16th, the UMW and the church, we are going to, as part of our garage sale this year, we are changing it up a little bit, and we are going to sell whole pies. So that'll be on May 15th and 16th, Friday and Saturday, and we will have a luncheon, breakfast, cinnamon rolls and coffee for that particular for those two particular days. And I guess I'm just going to put a plug in for you, Vicki, here, for Friday night. I know we call it ladies' night out, but you men, if you have money burning holes in your pocket, we would love to have you come also. Some of you would like to maybe, you know, chatter with the rest of us. It will be from 4 to 8. And Vicki, how many vendors do you have at this time?
25 right now.
She has 25 vendors. So that's pretty exciting for this Friday night. And it's a $5 admission to get into the ladies' night out. And that's all I have at this time. Thank you.
Absolutely awesome, Marianne. Absolutely awesome. Wonderful opportunities. Any other sharings that come before us? Choir practice Wednesday night. Yes, Judy. For Sandy Tumbleson, thank you, Judy. And Judy, thank you, and Annie for ministering to the family yesterday. We want to continue to remember Sandy Tumbleson's family in prayer. And Brother Dave is here. We want to continue to remember Dave and Fritzy's family in prayer. But thanks again, Judy and Annie. Thank you so much. Any other sharings?
I would just like to say thank you, Tim, for having a 50th birthday party. There was lots and lots of food items in the food pantry this morning when I arrived. Our shelves are overflowing, which makes me smile, and we will be able to help lots of people. So happy birthday, Tim.
Amen to that. Raise the cheer. Come on. That was such a celebration. Bless you, buddy. Wonderful. Any other sharings this morning before we have our... Oh, well, then let us prepare our hearts as we're doing right now in the Spirit. What a wonderful Spirit. Let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Let us pray. God of renewal, you are the author of life. You are the one who came to meet us in flesh and bone and blood. You are the one who walked among us, proclaiming love and mercy, repentance. You are the one who who died and rose and lived again, that we might believe and truly live. Empower us to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth, therefore, and help us accept your unconditional love, that we might share your love with others. In your holy name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. People of God, the Lord has called you here today.
We have come seeking love, hope, and healing.
Rejoice, for the light of Christ shines on us.
Our hearts are full of gladness as we praise the one who promises new life.
And now, Easter people, raise your hearts, your voices unto the Lord in praise for the opening hymn of praise, 702, Sing with All the Saints in Glory. Take this opportunity. Welcome your neighbors through the passing of the peace.
Just keep that baby.
fast because we're going to have fast.
Do you have this? Do you have the piano?
Get that piano tuner out there. Have Linda anoint the piano. You it'll be the anointing if you play it. Well, I'm going to brag again. I was bragging about last week's service. I get a chance to brag about this one, and no, it's not me. I can brag because we've got Marie Sanfilippo is going to be doing the children's moments. So at this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Jesus loves me.
Kids, big and small, thank you. Okay, today I want to read a book. I got this book and I really liked it. It's called I Can Pray by Suzette Cadwell and Nicholas Smith. All right. In this book, there are 6 different characters. Daisy, KJ, Suzanne, Tan Lee, Marcel, and Burgess. Okay, I can hit a ball. I can draw a macaw, which is a bird. Okay, I can sip milk through a straw. I can pray. I can touch my nose, and I can walk on my tippy toes. I can smell a rose, and I can pray. I can count to 10. I can write with a pen. I can stand at attention. I can pray. I can reach the stars, and I can climb the monkey bars. I can eat cookies from a jar. I can pray. I can clean up my room, and I can blow up a balloon. I can whistle a happy tune. I can pray. I can swing up high. I can wink my left eye. I can make mud pies. I can pray. I can say my ABCs. And I can buzz like 100 bees. I can crawl on my hands and knees. I can pray. I can do the bunny hop. I can lick a lollipop. I can grocery shop. I can pray. So listen as I say the words that Jesus gave, and then you too will know how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And help us not to yield to the temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I can pray. We can pray every day. It's not necessarily for the good, the bad. I mean, when we have happy times, as you saw, or even the sad days, God is there. He listens to us. So no matter what we do, he's there, and he's there to listen. So as it says, no matter how, we can pray in everyday lives, in the little ones and in the big ones. He's always there for us. Okay, let's all get together and finish up.
Yes, indeed. You may go back. You may return to your...
They're not...
Oh, they're waiting for the second. Oh, thank you. Thank you, gang. Hey, Dave, can you come up and help me? Or I wanted to... Do any of these young people want to help? Here, you want to hand them out? Hey, Dave, let's look at this. We got a great crew. They'll hand those out. And by the way, let's show an appreciation for Marie's wonderful message today for our young people. Thank you, Marie. Thank you. It looks like these disciples are ready to go witness. Go ahead, return to your pews, and be sure to share that with somebody. Share the love of Jesus. Allison's going to carry the microphone for us. If you're a visitor, again, what another wonderful Sunday. Last Sunday, powerful. This Sunday, we welcome you. There are visitors' cards. If you want to take a moment, fill those out. Just drop them in the offering plate when the ushers come by here for the regular morning offering. Allison is here to get you acquainted with some of the customs here in our church. This is called the Joys and Concerns. If you have a joy, we just lifted up Tim's birthday here a little bit ago. That would be an example, a birthday, a wedding anniversary. Perhaps it's a testimony of how the Lord walks with you. You know, we're all on that Emmaus road, and the Lord does walk with us. Maybe you want to share that witness. That's good news. Or if there's a concern, maybe somebody you love, for instance, is sick, you want to alert us to that need. Just raise your hands, joys or concerns. Joy. And I see Roger back. Is it Roger?
No.
I was going to ask you, buddy. I just saw last night. Laura just saw some information last night. Oh, yeah. Yes, Dave. Yes.
Yeah, I just got a call this morning from Bob Belder, and he said that his girl, I don't know if it's his granddaughter or what, Jessica Shaden, and they had to take her to the emergency room with irregular heartbeat, and they couldn't get it under control and everything, and he was kind of concerned and wanted me to have her put her on prayer chain prayers. And also, I had the opportunity to take a blind young man this week, and he was talking to me about the Lord. He was young and lost his eyesight to sugar. And he is such a good kid and everything. And I just like to keep him in his prayers because he can just see like shadows right now. He can't, you know, and it's getting worse. But he seems to be able to get along good with it. So just to keep him in the prayers.
How old is he, Dave?
He's 26.
26. Oh,
yeah, and I when I was working out the golf course, yeah, when I got in the car and spoke to him, he says, "I know you." And I says, "Yeah." I said, "I used to work out the golf course." Well, I knew his dad real well. So, and his dad's retired now. So, at least, you know, he knew voices and everything. So God put me there for a purpose. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that witness. And we remember Bob's granddaughter, you say? Well, we'll remember her in prayer, sure. Sure, and Bob alerted us to that. And I got some news last night. I'm anxious to hear this. Yes, sir, grandfather.
I got two of them. My neighbor, yes, Bob Shum, had an accident at home, and his healing process is not going real well. Yeah. He has to see quite a few doctors, and he has to go to St. Joe Hospital quite a bit. But got to pray for him. And the other one is Bailey fell off the swing Friday night, fractured her elbow. And she goes to see an orthopedic doctor tomorrow to see what kind of a cast or what they have to do to her elbow. So she'll need some prayers.
Father, well, we remember Bailey. Bailey was the one I was going to ask you about, but also Brother Bob. So we lift up Brother Bob as well. And I see some. Alice is doing a great job here. Yes, sir, Brother Warren.
Marilyn and I have an unspoken request this morning that we would appreciate you lifting up in prayer.
Certainly, brother. The Lord hears those. The Lord hears those. And I saw a Gloria over here with her hand up. And again, Allison, you're doing such a fine job. We'll just let you go ahead and take leadership on this. Thank you.
I have an update on my friend Cheryl Reese's son, Aaron Reese. He did get his heart transplant on Monday.
Wow.
And he's doing very well.
Wow.
He's up walking and eating, and so it's pretty much a miracle. But, you know, we do have prayers for the family that gave the gift so that Aaron could get a second chance, I guess. I have another shout-out. I wanted to thank Hannah, Livy, and Emma. They needed some service projects, and they helped do the windows here at the church yesterday morning. So thank you, girls.
Let us raise it. Let us raise praise to the Lord and for the help, the wonderful, the girls' work, and then for the miracle witness there. Miracle.
A little more on Bob Shum. He's to have surgery tomorrow afternoon at St. Joe.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you for sharpening that alert for us. Any other joys or concerns? Yes, Kristen. Yes, ma'am. Oh, wonderful. Indeed, we pray for that little one, and we praise the Lord for the employment. Oh my goodness, Kristen! I know our family sure, you know, with the boys, we sure relate to that. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Any other joys or concerns? Well, let's show an appreciation for his disciple, Allison. Thank you, Allison. Wonderful discipleship this morning. For our youth, beautiful day to be together. Let us now turn to the Lord in silent prayer. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You created us. May your words, O Lord, that we've heard be written now upon our hearts, that we may be inspired each and every day to follow the ways of Christ and continue to be witnesses of his resurrection. Deepen our faith, O Lord, as we pray the prayer that the risen Christ has invited us always to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Marie, you did such a wonderful, wonderful program this morning about praying and about the Lord's Prayer. We thank you so much. Now, this hymn, which is a preparatory hymn for the Word. We really try, and I've got all sorts of resources that I turn to. And the Emmaus Road, this, I want you just to imagine that. You know, walks with me, talks with me. Let's stand together now. Prepare our hearts for the Word by singing 314 in the Garden. Seated. We will hear in just a few moments the scripture, the story of the road to Emmaus. But before that word of God, we've got a beautiful anthem that Keith has selected that once again just acquaints us a little more with the love of the Savior who walks with us. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, choir. And again, I just got to say, you can see why Steve and Fedora Bennett said, boy, they could, if they could have, they would have been here every week. What blessings. What blessings. And what a witness. For this is the one who walks with us. This is the kind of Savior who is the resurrected King of Kings. Nothing shall ever separate us ever again from the Lord. The risen Christ. I want to turn to one of the suggested biblical readings, one of the Bible lessons for this Sunday as we continue through Easter time. Luke 24, begin reading with the 13th verse. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? And he asked them, what things? And they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and they told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And then he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. For was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Now, as they came near to the village that they were going to, which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? Now that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, the Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. And then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. May God add the blessing of His Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. It's a story I heard about a little girl. She went to her mother and she said, "Mom, how did the human race appear?" And the mother answered. She says, "Well, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And then they had children, and their children had children, and so on." 2 days later, the little girl asked her father the same question. The father answered, "Many years ago, there were certain monkeys from which the human race evolved." Well, the confused little girl went to her mother and says, "Mom, how is it that you told me the human race was created by God, and Daddy says that we developed from monkeys?" And the mother answered, "Well, dear, it's really very simple. You see, I was telling you about my side of the family, and he was telling you about his side of the family." We all want to know, you know, that little child. Remember, as a child, you would ask the questions. Sadly, we quit asking questions. You know, we need to ask questions. Continue to seek. "And ye shall find," says Jesus. "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you," says the Lord. That little girl wanted to know who we are, where we came from, and that's a yearning for all of us. Well, we are an Easter people. Praise God. We know where we come from. God is the creator of the billions of galaxies. It's all the Lord. I keep thinking of Jesus. When they tried to trick him, they brought him the coinage and had the image of Caesar on it. And they wanted to know about his relationship, you know, because they were under Roman occupation. And what did he say to them? And they were in the temple. And the cute thing about that, here's my historian, Bob Wurtenberger. The great thing about it, Bob, was illegal to have an image in the temple. And there they are with a graven image. So they're trying to trick Jesus. You remember what he said? "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Behold the cosmos. It is all the Lord's. It is all the Lord's. We are the Lord's, and we do not walk alone." Praise God. That's the witness of the Emmaus Road. I've preached this, Brother Warren, on Easter morning. In fact, I remember Rose Hill. I'm getting ready, you know, the Lord and I are trying to remember what were the churches. I mean, I told Dick, you know what I told Tim at the birthday? I told him at his birthday, at his party. I said, "I remember being out on the course with Bob Wurtenberger, Don Johnson, and Dick Miller. And Tim, I asked," because I had just turned 50, and I asked Dick Miller, I said, "Dick, do you remember when you turned 50? And Dick looked at me, not breaking us a laugh or anything. He looks at me, just that deadpan look. He says, "Nope." Well, I thought, you know, and I think it was a joke, but I got to level with you, brother. At my age, I don't think I remember turning 50. We are the Lord's, and truly, we never walk alone. The Lord is always with us. We need, don't we? We need that comfort, don't we? To know that hope, that blessed hope. Somebody asked me how I was doing. They asked me how I was doing. I said, "Well, I'm doing okay. But," I said, "I'm grieving. Fritzy's passing." That was the severing of the golden cord for me. You know, when my mama passed away of cancer in 1985. And those of you who've gone through this, you probably relate to what I'm going to tell you. But as long as my father lived, you know, Jesus said that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, for they shall become as one flesh. Modern psychology now appreciates more than ever that we're not just two circles in the diagram adjacent to each other. We overlap, and when that loved one dies, there's a gaping hole, a space that nothing will ever fill. Nothing on earth. As long as my father lived, something of the essence of my mother continued with him. And you know, Brian became a father to me. And then he passed, but Fritzy continued. Something of the essence of Brian and Fritzy continued in her vessel. And Brother Dave, our hearts and our prayers go out to you on your time of bereavement, which means broken. Because we are broken too. We are broken. But we are an Easter people. We are an Easter people. We know where she is. And I even prayed in the Spirit to the Father and to Brian. I said, Brian, forgive me for my selfishness. She's reunited with you and with Randy. With Randy. Forgive me for my selfishness, but I am also human. And Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. So we need the blessed hope of the one who walks with us, who is the resurrected, conquering Christ. We need that. It was Saturday after Fritzy's funeral, we got the word from Craig. And I had been alerted. I want to thank Linda Holden for alerting us. And we had been in communication with Sandy. And it's awful to say this, Linda, but we planned on when I got back from vacation. Isn't that the way a lot of times it goes, right? When I get back from vacation, we were going to go see her, but we'd been getting communications. That's why we were stunned that here Craig calls and says, Mom's at hospice. And that was on Saturday, so we went over and I held her hand in prayer, and I took Craig and the family out in the hallway so Sandy wouldn't hear. Because remember, our loved ones hear. They hear, most assuredly, they still hear. In fact, the conjecture is that that is probably the last sense that fails. So always be loving when you're speaking around your loved one in a deep coma. We trust they hear. So I took the family out in the hall. And I said, Craig, in 40 years, I've gone through this a lot. And God only knows the day and the hour. But I've got to tell you, son, I want to prepare you. I think it's going to be very soon. But we still thought we'd get back. And then Tuesday we got the word. Sandy had passed. I loved her so much. I loved that Sandy. I'm going to miss her. I told Larry. I said, Larry, you know, I've always got one more goal to reach. I've always got one more function I must prepare for. And I'm a pretty focused guy. And when I retire, I'm going to water the fields with my tears. Because I will then have time to grieve and to grieve fully. Because Jesus wept, don't be ashamed. We can weep also. But as I've shared again and again and again, and Judy, I know you and Annie and Vicki, you all attend many of these funerals. You're so supportive. You hear me say it again and again. Jesus came more than to simply understand our walk. He came to do something about it. To do something about our tears and our fears. And so, yes, as Keith brilliantly guided us through that anthem. Love grew where the blood fell. He paid the price. And he opened the gates of eternity. So we know where Sister Fritzy is. We know where Sister Sandy is. And all of our loved ones. And there will be that day. This message is so powerful. As I said, I've preached it on Sunday morning at Rose Hill. That's what I was getting back to. I finally came back full. You were probably wondering, is Greg ever going to come full circle to what his point was? But yeah, I was trying to remember the churches that I attended, and Rose Hill was where I preached this very message on Sunday morning. And the road to Emmaus is a powerful witness. Are they sad? What does the scripture say? Are they sad? You bet they are. But what happens? The Lord draws near. And in the breaking of the bread, which is a Eucharistic moment, certainly, in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are open to the presence of the Lord. You know, Judy, you, Annie, and all of you who serve those table banquets, again and again, it's in the breaking of the common loaf, in the breaking of the bread, that our eyes are open to the presence of Christ among us. And what a powerful healing ministry you're a part. Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked along the way, as he opened the scriptures with us? Well, the message here, the witness here for the church is Christ is always with us. Take heart, though you cry. Yes, take heart, for the Lord does not forsake us. As Fritzy, one of her witnesses, as she said to me, she said, I never, and I shared this at the funeral, she said, I never asked the Lord to change the external circumstances. You heard me share that witness of hers many times from the pulpit. But then it took me, and she said, I just asked the Lord to take my hand and walk with me through the storm and through the night. Lead me on to the light. You know, that spoke to me, Brother Warren. You said, you know that Thomas Dorsey story, Greg? Maybe it's time we tell that again. So I'm gonna conclude with that. 1932, 32 year old, Reverend Thomas Dorsey. Newlywed in the south side of Chicago, he and Nettie lived. Nettie was in her last month of pregnancy, very pregnant, as we married couples say, very pregnant, when Reverend Dorsey, Thomas Dorsey, who had been a great jazz artist, but became a convert to Christ and used his gifts to serve the Lord, and boy, what a servant he was. They begged him to come to St. Louis. They were going to have, Bob, they were going to have this major worship service there in St. Louis. So they begged Thomas Dorsey to come and sing for them. Well, he wasn't going to go because, as I said, Nettie was very pregnant, the last month of pregnancy, and she urged him. She said, honey, the Lord has given you a gift. Music, right, Keith? Right, Linda? Music, choir. There's something about music. Of all that we don't know of heaven to come, you can bet on it. There will be music. He had that angelic gift. She says, you must go and lift the spirits of the people, raise their hope. Well, he was reluctant, but he says, Nettie, you're sure? She said, you've got to go. So he prepared, and he was rushing out the door. He said there was a cool Lake Michigan breeze coming down, clear to the south side of Chicago. He was on Route 66, right, Dick? That is one that goes back for us. Route 66. And he was heading to St. Louis when suddenly he realized in his urgency and his anxiety, he was mixed in his feelings about this because of Nettie. He'd forgotten his music case. Keith, he had to go back and get his music. He comes back. Nettie, he said, was sound asleep. So he wasn't about to disturb her. He loved her so. And he got his music case. He's ready to go, Karen. When he gets to the threshold, to the portal, and he stops. He just felt he had to stay. But Nettie said, the people need you so much. The church needs you so much, darling. You've got to go. So with her words of urging echoing in his heart, he left. Well, it was a profound service, Bob, at St. Louis. It was majestic, marvelous. They begged him to sing again and again and again. What a profound... By the way, the United Methodist Church has a special site honoring Thomas Dorsey. The hymn I'm about to go to, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? He credits that as really the foundation that kind of helped him, that kind of primed the pump, if you will, Brother Keith. So he's there, and he's sitting down taking a rest when suddenly the Western Union messenger boy comes and rushes to him, gives him an envelope, and he opens that envelope, and there, taped on the yellow page, are the letters, your wife just died. He said, here it is. People are rejoicing the Lord, singing praises. He said, all I wanted to do was to cry out in anguish, my wife. He couldn't believe it. He found a telephone. This is 1932. He found a telephone. And he managed to call back. So he and Nettie had a phone. South side of Chicago, but they had a phone. So he phones home, and he hears the message twice. They're broken. They're choking on the words. Nettie is dead. Nettie is dead. Thomas Dorsey rushed home in a Model A. It was a Model A that he had, Model A. He said he got home and discovered that, lo and behold, Nettie had just given birth before her passing, in her passing, actually. She had given birth to a baby boy. His own words. He said, I swang between grief and joy. And then that very night, my boy died. I buried Nettie and our son in the same casket, and he confessed they might as well have buried me because I was finished. I broke. Now, I should gloss the picture. Part of me would gloss the picture, but I've never glossed pictures for you. Never. The Bible doesn't gloss the picture of King David. And I won't gloss the picture because it might be important for you to hear this. Thomas Dorsey, Reverend Thomas Dorsey, left the service of the Lord at that point, and he said in his own words, not a glossy picture, I felt the Lord had dealt me an injustice, and I would no longer serve him. Now, I give that to you. That's the truth. Because maybe in your hurt, maybe at some point you felt that way. Huh? He did. Well, I told Bob Hall. I said, Bob Hall, I got you in the story today. And it speaks to me. Thomas was a broken man. And he was closeted away, and they took him to actually to a sort of a studio where a professor friend of his gave him a room, and his buddies carried his piano Thomas Dorsey, Reverend Dorsey's piano, his piano. Linda, the action's always different on every keyboard, isn't it? You bet it is. They carried his piano, no small task. Ask Bob Hall, John Hall, Dick Miller, Danny Miller. They carried our, actually it was Laura's mama's piano. They carried it out to Monmouth Road this week. My goodness, guys, you can appreciate it. They carried Thomas Dorsey's piano to that little studio room where he was alone, broken. And they left him there. Thomas Dorsey said, he saw the light flickering through a window. It came and fell where he was seated for the first time. Keith, piano man, he's at the piano. And he said, suddenly, it felt like a drop of water falling into a calm pool. And I felt the Lord's presence so strong, I felt that I could just reach out and take the hand of the Lord. And though he credits, must Jesus bear the cross alone? Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. He credits that. But it was the Lord God who anointed him with his presence, the presence of the risen Christ. And these were the words. I'm just doing the first verse because we're going to sing it. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. From that moment on, he said, I serve the Lord with joy and gladness because I tell you, says Thomas Dorsey, the Lord restored my soul and my brokenness. He raised me to new life. That's what the Emmaus walk is all about. The risen Christ walks with us. And Thomas Dorsey said, it's in the darkest hour that the Lord shines the brightest. You know that strength. But like Thomas Dorsey, like the young people, Shelley, that have been witnessing for the Lord through the service of the Lord, like the guys that carried a piano, man, oh man, what an army for Christ. So rise up, children of God, and continue to witness to others, proclaim the risen Lord. This time, we will serve the risen Christ through the morning offering. Let us pray together. Almighty God, in this season of new life, we give you thanks and praise for these gifts. May they be used to bring new life to others. As we offer you our gifts, we offer you our hearts as well, knowing it is Christ who leads us and empowers us for ministry. In your holy name we pray. Amen. That closing hymn of Thomas Dorsey, Reverend Thomas Dorsey, 474, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest, abide with us now and forever.